Okay. So, the world has not gotten any safer since the last time you met, no? Let's see. So we have a curfew tonight, okay? So just imagine if I have to go to Queens, I wouldn't make it back time for the curfew. So look how Ribbono Shel Olam organizes things, right? Ribbono Shel Olam's, you know, the person that went to a psychiatrist, the first man went to a psychiatrist, and he said, I'm petrified, I'm going out of my mind between Corona, between the riots, and everything that's happening, between losing my business, I'm going out of my mind. I need therapy. Is there anything that could help me? And the psychiatrist said, you're going to need some serious therapy, $175 an hour, and it's going to be about 6 months of therapy. And the guy says to the psychiatrist, that's going to help your problems. How is it going to help my problems? What am I going to do? You know, Ribbono Shel Olam, like, help me. Okay? No story of the dentist. The guy says, he checks out his teeth and says, okay, you need a root canal. And he tells him that $5,000 in a root canal and a cap and a crown. And he says to the dentist, I feel like I'm paying off a car. And the dentist says, you are. I have a friend, think of a dentist car. I have a friend, he's a dentist, and in the middle of the whole corona, he came in to do my kid's tooth, and he said to me, please don't say that joke anymore. So I said to him, well, what if I say that you came in at night, right, to do it? Can I say both jokes together? So they said. So I have another friend, I always have friends that are in trouble, but I have another friend that is making a chasana tonight. And whatever he's making a chasana, in the backyard, in the front yard, you know, Chasana is on one block, the Kaaba is on a different block, which is very, very good for Shalom Bayis, by the way. And he's saying, like, now, on top of everything else, they worked out the whole logistics of the wedding, and now they have to worry about everyone getting all the guests home by 11 o'clock, and the caterer says he wants to get home by 11 o'clock, and the singer and the musician and everything else. He goes, how could this happen? So I said to him, obviously, someone's pulling the strings up there. It has to be. Someone else told me about a drive-through wedding. I said, as long as it's not a drive-through marriage. But then again, this is a drive-through life. Think about it this way. Another person that was the couple that was quarantined now for, they held, you know, halacha, they were quarantined now for like 3 months. And then they said, okay, they opened up the front door and they said, the problem is we don't fit outside the door. How do we get out, right? Really, think about this for a moment, what's going on in the world. I mean, think about this. We have, unfortunately have, viruses, epidemics, police brutality, wild riots, nuclear threats, biological threats, anti-Semitism. Remember, Hamas and Hezbollah, they're still around. Today there was a report that Iran almost hacked into, and they almost into the water system in Eretz Yisrael. They were very close to poisoning it. So the issue is, and the joke is that we probably don't even know what the real threat is to us. So I always say, there's one issue here. The issue is that I can guarantee you one thing, okay? This is what I can guarantee. I'm not a Baal Ruach HaKadosh, but I can guarantee you one thing. You're not going to die from the virus and police brutality and the riots and the nuclear threats and the biological threats and Iran poisoning the water. You're not going to die from all of them. It's going to be one of them. Chas v'shalom. Hopefully, after 120, hopefully we'll be Tchias Amesim. So, if you're going to worry about all these things, most of the things you worried about is you're off on most of it. So, if I have 10 things to worry about, and I'm worrying about all 10, so really, 9 out of the 10 is not worth worrying about. So, think that I don't know which one it is to worry about, so the logical conclusion would be don't worry about any one. Easier said than done. Let's try to put things into perspective a little bit. Look at America, and tell me if this is not insane. SpaceX shot up a rocket, right? A rocket. This is an unbelievable thing. That a private company shoots a rocket to space, and it was a successful launch, and went up there to the space station, and it made it within. They were saying it made it 5 minutes early to the space station, right? How many thousands of miles away? And down here, the world is falling apart. I mean, we can't even keep our streets safe. So, how am I supposed to? Where do I get sanity in an insane world? We need something to hold on to, right? You're riding on a subway, and you hold on to the strap hangers, you hold on to something. The world is moving so fast, crashing in from all sides. What do I hold on to? I need something to hold on to. I remember taking my kid when he was 4 years old. Baruch Hashem, he's being my own kids, but he was, when he gave me a run for my money, he was the kid that I would get a call. I have a chinuch question. What do you do with a kid that breaks a window? I know you're talking about my kid. I hate when people do that to me. You want to say my kid broke the window, don't call me and say, I have a chinuch question. What should I do about my kid? Anyway, this kid, when he was 5 years old, I was on the train, and he was swinging from one of those strap hands, from, you know, from the, like Tarzan, from one to the other, and somebody came by in a uniform, and he said, get down! It's not made for that! And he turned around and he said to me, so what is it made for? That's what the kid said. He was sure that's what it was made for. That's how much we understand what's going on in this world. So I need strap hangs. I need something to hold on to. So let me tell you that the Chazonish said like this. Somebody once asked him about who was safe to ride on a plane. And the Chazonish said, yeah. So he said, but he heard about a plane that crashed. So the Chazonish told him, planes don't crash. People do. Okay? There's a gzeira, how long we're going to be down here on this world. Not a gzeira. Gzeira is not necessarily bad. And min ha-shamayim, it's dictated where we're going to be, how we're going to be, who we're going to be. Now, the riots and everything else that's taking place, and sicknesses, and whether you're on a spaceship going up to Mars, that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shluchim. At the end of the day, the Rabbeinu Shalom judges us by who we are. And I want to try to put this into perspective because I think it's important. Yesterday, I walked out over here, where we are here in Ocean Parkway, and I'm crossing Avenue F, and there's a car like four blocks away. And trust me, at the speed that he was going, I was safely crossing the street. And as I was crossing, beep, and he sped up to try to hit me. And I, of course, if I was real macho 20 years earlier, I would have stood there staring at him, right? You know, at the car. So nice, I ran. I just like had to ran a little bit as he drove by. Beep. Okay. So that was my kabbal. That was b'shed for me. And later on, I'm driving in Ocean Park and I'm making a left turn. And again, I'm making a left turn. That, trust me, there was enough room. The car coming, it was a safe left turn. Maishi, do I drive slowly? I don't drive. Maishi's like the same thing. Okay. And as I'm making the left turn, the guy beep and speeds up. Like speeds up from a block away to come like head on. And I couldn't even make the turn fast because all of a sudden people start crossing. You know, you make a left turn and you stop people are crossing. And I even saw as I turned, there was a police car turned on his lights and started chasing this guy. Like he even shook his head from side to side as if he acknowledged this guy sped up. Try to do it. And I said, wait a second. Two people just did the same thing. Now, unless someone's tracking me from a helicopter, I doubt very highly that each one knew about the other one. So what does that mean? It means that no one speeds up in a car and tries to hit you. No one speeds up when you're making a left turn to try to get you head on. It means it's Hashgacha min Hashamayim. That's what it means. So I have to say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it to me? I have to think that my life is in your hands in Rabbeinu Shalom. But try to put it into perspective. It's crazy, the streets out there, anything can happen to you, it's wild. No, it's not. Whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. And Rav Tzadik talks about this a lot. He says a lot of times when you have multiple problems that are coming from different directions, and the two people have no shaychus to each other. Your wife yells at you, your husband yells at you, you go out and your boss yells the same thing. Now, of course, if you're walking around with a clown's nose and both are yelling at you, you have a clown's nose, and you understand the connection. But sometimes totally unrelated, and they both... So Rabbi Hashem, so you're saying it to me. So the answer is you're saying it to me. So once I'm dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm not dealing with cars that are speeding up, it's a totally different world. So again, one of my classical stories, which I know Torah, anytime people have heard it a lot, but I'll say it. So I come home one day, and I need my coffee in the morning. If I don't get my coffee in the morning... You know what I mean? If I don't get my coffee in the morning, look out. And I wouldn't say you have to board up your windows, but I'm pretty bad. And I open up the refrigerator, and I hate when my kids do this. There's an empty bottle of milk. An empty bottle of milk. And I feel like saying, who put an empty bottle of milk in the refrigerator? Because then no one realizes that it's empty. You don't go buy a new one. So fine, my kids are sleeping. I walk out. I go to shul. There's no milk. There's no milk. You open up the refrigerator in shul for a coffee, there's an empty bottle of milk in the refrigerator. It wasn't my kid who ran to shul to do it. So I come to yeshiva, right here, this wonderful mice. And we have one of those things that, it's like those, in the Rebbe's room, it's like a faucet. You know, the big industrial thing, and you press a faucet, and the milk comes out. And I'm pressing the faucet, and nothing is coming out. Nothing is coming out. Like drip, one drip, but I missed it. Couldn't have the cup there. And the custodian comes up. He goes, well, "You want to break it? What are you doing?" I said, "Where's the milk?" He says, as he was schlepping up the big sack of milk, it hit some kind of a hook on the wall and splash. And the milk was, and it was Eretz Zavas Cholav Advash. I don't know Dvash, but it was Eretz Zavas Cholav. So I sat down and I said to myself, you think that there was a conspiracy over here between my kids at home, the Shamus and Shul, this custodian, or the guy that put the hook in? Did they all get together, a CIA Mossad operation, and plan that I shouldn't get milk? Or did Hashem say, you're not going to have milk in your coffee today? There are things that Kadosh Baruch Hu has to remind us that he's in charge. Once you realize that it's not your kids, and it's not the Shamus in Shul, and it's not the custodian dragging up the water, and once you realize it's not even someone trying to run you over on the street, but there's a Hashgacha min Hashemayim, and I'm in your hands, boy, re'olam, I'm telling you, your Menuchas HaNefesh level goes up 1,000 degrees. So, Ramesha says that we say every morning Berachos HaTorah, at least we're supposed to say Berachos HaTorah, except for those of you that are up a whole night learning, so you have a shayla of Berachos HaTorah in the morning. You have to have someone else so you might see, right? But for those of us that say Berachos HaTorah, because we do sleep in a bit. So right afterwards, we say some Psukim. Why do we say Psukim after Berachos HaTorah? Because if you made a bracha, you need something the bracha should be chal on. You want the bracha to take effect. So we say Psukim, and we say Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha every single morning. So really, Rav Moshe says it's not necessary. If you understand the lumdus of Berachos HaTorah, it's not a shayla of a bracha of Atala, for whatever reason. But it's a hider. It's a hider. After you say Berachos HaTorah, say some Psukim, there shouldn't be a hefsek. So why do we pick Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha? Why do we pick this? Why Dafka? Because it's a nice Psukim. Pasuk of Berachos Kehanim. I mean, what else do you say? Achos Loitan Timna? What do we say? Vayisa Meshuga? Which pasuk would you pick to say every morning after Berachos HaTorah? But Rav Moshe says a Mora Dekavar. You know why we say the pasuk of Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha every morning? It's because we say Yivarecha Hashem, right? Hashem should bench you with money. Yishmerecha, and Hashem should guard you from the mazikin. This is, says Rav Moshe, the most important lesson. It doesn't make a difference how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't make a difference how many mutual funds you have, how many stocks you have, how many apartment buildings you have. It doesn't make a difference how much money you have in Swiss accounts. It doesn't make a difference whatever investments you have. You can lose it in a split second. And like somebody once said, Ramey Lachbidim always says that if you don't believe that Hashem can take the money away from you, boy, he can sure take you away from your money. And we wake up every morning and we have to realize that whatever you have is a gift. It's a gift that was re-given to you every single day. If you wake up in the morning and you have a home, you wake up in the morning and you have a bed, and you wake up in the morning and you have a family, this family is a gift. The fact that I had it yesterday doesn't mean I have it today. The fact that I have it today doesn't mean that I have it tomorrow. So I say, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. But I also say, Yivarecha Hashem v'momen and v'yishmerecha. I know that without your shmira, it is absolutely useless. And that, says Rav Moshe, is the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Esau, to Yaakov, v'yitein v'yachzer v'yitein. You should understand whatever you have every single day is a gift. If you would know how many people in my class, are not in this world anymore. Some of them are still on respirators. And we're talking about people that have big, beautiful families and wealthy families. But what happened? So the Emissus should give a refuah shalemi, the Emissus should give a nechama, a roifei l'shuri leiv, a mechadish l'atzvay. So I don't have to tell you, I think we all, I don't think anyone, there isn't anyone that doesn't know family. But so that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgach, right? Those neshamas know up there that everything is good, it was meant to be this way. But for us down here, the biggest shmira that we can have is that we don't take things for granted. That we know nobody can threaten us. We are in the Boiri Kalilaman's hand. So the story goes like this, it was a very rich man. And he came to the Chayza of Lublin, and people said, ask the Rebbe for a bracha. And the man just exploded. He said, "No, he said, my parnassa is being threatened. He had legal issues. No children. Sick and tired of asking Rebbes for bracha. You know how many brachas I asked some Rebbes over the last couple of years? I'm sick and tired of asking Rebbes for brachas. Enough is enough! The wound saw his pain. And the rough Shitzurav went over to him and said, "What? Did anyone ever give you a kameya? You know, an amulet to walk around with?" He goes, "No, I will give you a kameya. I will write down Hashem's name and give you a kameya. You're going to see." "That no one ever did. No one ever gave me a kameya before." So the Rav Shitzurav takes a pen and he writes down something. We don't know what it was. Shema Yitzhakdashim, Olam Hayitzira, Habriya. He writes down different things. The Rav Shitzurav writes it down. And after the Rav Shitzurav writes it down, he wraps it up, seals it, puts in a little leather cloth. He says, "Wear this around your neck. Never take it off." Shameless. Hashem's name? Kabbalistic formulas? Kabbalah? Yes. Thank you, Rebbe. That year, his legal problems were resolved. He had a baby. And the Chayzer came back the next year, and he said, "Rebbe, I want to be mechabed you with tzaddikos." And the Chayzer sat down, he was tzaddik. Afterwards, he said to the Rav Shitzurav, said, "Now give me back the kameya." And the Chayzer said to the Rav Shitzurav was his Talmud, he said, "Can I see the shameless in that kameya? What does it say there?" He said, "That Rebbe doesn't want to see it. I want to see what shameless you wrote." Okay, so the Chayzer opens it up, and he laughs. Now what the Rav Shitzurav wrote in the kameya. When I heard the story, I heard it in Russian, so it sounds a lot better. But he wrote down, "God, even an old cow can give milk, you know, just give this guy what he needs." That's what he wrote. Something I'm sure you can, when I say, I used to have the words written down in Russian, you know, when the Russian Yidden would hear it, they would burst into laughter. So the Chayzer said to the Rav Shitzurav, "What was that all about?" So he said to me, "When you write a kameya, and it's supposed to be shameless, they malachim look at it." He says, "The malachim opened this up. They said, even an old cow can give milk." And they burst into laughter. And when there's simcha, sha'arim opened up. He said, there were so many rebbes gave brachas that he should have children. So many rebbes gave brachas that he should have menuchas and nefesh. So many rebbes gave brachas that his legal problem should be over. But he was so tense, so nervous, so discouraging himself. He so didn't believe in the bracha. He was so sure it's doomsday. He says, once they started laughing, and Shemayim, the mechitza lifted, and all the previous tefillahs came through. You know, you got to look out for those moments. You got to look at your tefillahs when you think they're not being answered. They pile up. They pile up. There's a sincere, and you have one just good moment where you can crack a smile. Or better yet, make someone else smile. And Shemayim, they say, "Great, let's open it up. Let's open it up." You all know the story that Gemara says in the Sechus Tainus, where Broike was standing there, and he said to Elio, "Thousands of people coming over here, no social distancing." Is there still social distancing? Was there social distancing by the riots? That must be why they broke the windows to go into the stores. They should be able to separate properly. No? No?
Maybe. Not
shouldn't just down the cops close, right? Anyway, so he said to him, who's here? Who's coming straight into Olam Haba? So the person said, my buttons are doing social distancing, right? My jacket. Who's going straight into Olam Haba? So Breaker said, those two. So Rav Breaker went over to these two guys. They look like ordinary, you know, Moshe Yankos. They said, if your name is Moshe Yankos, I don't mean you're ordinary. But they said, what do you guys do? You're going straight into Olam Haba. Now? No, not right now. I mean, after 120. So they said, I don't know, when we see a guy sad, we try to get him to be happy. Try to get him to be happy. Right? And that's it. The Vayishma says, you open up brachas. Once you open up a world of simcha. So the Marshal says, when you're in pain, the Eibishter says kaviyachol, whatever this means, just repeating the words, of course, doesn't mean in a physical sense that my shoulders are heavy, my head is so heavy. And when you take a yid out of pain, you're like lifting the load off the shechina hakdasha. That's why you're zeichet to go to Olam Haba. So the Mashah really says, the Baron Moshe explaining the Mashah says this vartum the Rav Shitzurav, basically. He says, Hashem has so much to give us, you got to believe that it's all Him. You can't believe that it's that so-and-so is, because of my partner, right? You know, the partner calls the other partner and says, you know, there's $50,000 missing from the safe. He goes, we'll just put it back, you know, right? And my partner robbed me, my son-in-law of mine was demanding support, and the son-in-law said, it's nobody. The Rebbeinu Shalala. The Rebbeinu Shalala controls all the cars in Ocean Parkway. The Rebbeinu Shalala controls all the milk. And when there's a reg of simcha in your life and you don't give up on yourself and you just laugh at a certain moment, boom, the doors open up. The doors open up. So we all know what happens to the Saita, right? The Saita, if she drinks the water, and if she is innocent, so what happens to her if she's innocent? So if she didn't have children till now, she's like for the children. She had difficulty having children. So really, even if she's innocent, she's not totally innocent. This Saita, her husband told her not to be alone with a certain man. And she was alone with that man. She violated the Isra Yichud. So why does she deserve a bracha? Why does she deserve a bracha? She had ugly children, she has beautiful children, if she had difficulty in childbirth, she's gonna have easy childbirth. If this is a bracha that's worth all the money in the world, why does she get it? She's not such a tzaddikus. So the Chidah says something absolutely fascinating. He says, this woman, right, her husband warned her not to be with so-and-so. She didn't listen. She was caught, she's together with so-and-so. She is humiliated, she is standing in the Beit HaMikdash in front of all the Kehanim, and the whole process of Saita, if you learn Masech the Saita, it's not a very geshmaka process to go through. She knows what's come. She's caught alone with this man. Says the Chidah, Lamai says she's innocent. Lamai says she did not go all the way, so to speak. She stopped at one point. Because you see, the waters of the Saita did not kill her. At that point, what did she have to lose? At that point, she could have said, my husband already warned me. I'm going to be dragged to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm an outcast in society. I blew it in the eyes of God. I blew it in the eyes of people. I may as well go all the way. And she said, you know what? I'm stopping here. Whatever's going to be is going to be. I'm stopping here. When you're down, you're all the way down, it looks like the world is caving in on you, and you say, but I'm not going any further. I'm stopping right here. Stopping right here. You know, a kid once told me, you know, he looked at something he shouldn't have looked at in the good old days when you have to go to a store and look at magazines. Then he walked out, and he walked back in, and he walked out, and he walked back in, and he walked back out, and he said, I can't walk in one more time because the store is closing in 5 minutes. I got to do something. So he walked away the last time. I said, does that count for anything? I said, sure, it counts for everything in the world. It doesn't mean enough to prove on what you did, but it means to say you're like the Saita. You're saying, because Baruch Hu, I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm not forgetting you. I realize you saw what I did. I need help. That's what you're saying to Hashem. Nobody would have known if you went in the other time. In your eyes, you're not going to be a tzaddik anyway. And you stop because the Kaddish Baruch Hu said to stop, you're a tzaddik. You're the Saita that gets those brachas. So, Rav I remember, I know you've heard, again, the Torah anytime people have heard this story a lot, but when I was in Eretz Yisrael, when you let your bachrim go to Eretz Yisrael, when you get married, be careful. So, of course, we went off to Amuka. Went off to Amuka. You know, Amuka is a school for Shidduch and Fani Good Shidduch. They say that after they put the mechitza on over there, the school didn't work so much. But, you know, okay. So anyway, we're on our way back from Amuka, and we have to make it back to Yerushalayim. We don't have a red cent to our name. So we're hitching. And there's no one there to hitch. You're in the middle of nowhere, Sheba nowhere. So one of the people there says he's an enikel of Revelvel Rachma Strifka, and they have a Messiah in their family that if you learn a Mishnah for Revelvel Rachma Strifka, who's a great tzaddik, you're going to see Yeshua. So they all learned the Mishnah. And they're looking down the road, and they see headlights. And this truck comes by, a flatbed truck. Remember the story, Mashi? A flatbed truck comes by. There's a bunch of Na-Na Nachman guys on there, half drunk, half high, with guitars. And they say, come on. And they get on. And they take them to the next crossroad, to the next Sitzomet, as they call the junction. And then they let them off there, and they're, again, all alone. Kind of they get back to Yerushalayim. So they have another mission for a Velvel Rachm Strifka. And they see headlights coming down the road. This time it's a laundry truck. The guy says, I don't have place on the seat. If you want, climb in between the laundry. So they're climbing in between people's laundry. They're like in between undershirts and socks. And he lets them off on the next junction. And they're still in the middle of no man's land. But they figure they need one more ride to get into Yerushalayim. So they learn another Mishnah for a Revelvel Rachm Strifka. And this pickup truck comes out. He says, the guy gets out. He looked like the Malach HaMavis himself. Flaming red beard. Flaming red hair. Eyes bulging. They said, we turned around, we wanted to run for our lives. And he says in the most like Hungarian Yiddish, Buchanan, be guided, skin fair, what's your problem? Get into my truck. They got into his pickup truck. So someone said afterwards, they told him, Rav Velbel Rachman Shrivka, I'll tell you one thing, it surely works, learning a Mishnah, but he has some sense of humor, I'll tell you one thing, right? The Rabbeinu Shalom has our schedule. What he wants from us is just a drop of Mesiras Nefesh. Even after we blew it, a drop, you're up to the last bracha in Shmona Esrei. You weren't mechavin one word, like the Chavetz Chaim's Noshel Light. They grab the apples out of the lady's hand, she's selling apples. Pick up apples yourself. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a special appreciation for us when you can write a kameya, when you can say, it's going to be okay. That's going to be okay. I'm here and I'll make it through. But there has to just be a drop in the Siras Nefesh. And someone told me a great story. Somebody comes to a Rebbe, he says, a friend of mine is doing terrible things. He has apps on his smartphone that don't belong there. And he asked the Rav, I'm willing to offer him half my Olam Haba if he gives it away. If he removes those apps on his phone. Am I allowed to offer him half my Olam Haba? So the Rav said to him, why don't you offer him your next paycheck? Guy turned around and walked out. He wasn't going to offer him his next paycheck. He was going to offer him his Olam Haba. You understand what I'm saying? Rav Hashem wants real Mesiras Nefesh. Now there's something called a diplomatic suitcase. If you're into the Michael Flynn case, this whole story, they got a guy out on they literally someone has put a person into a diplomatic suitcase. When it doesn't make a difference how messed up we are. It doesn't make a difference how deep in the mud we are. When we recognize that it is Hashgacha, the Rav Hashem says, you're bringing me in, I am going to give you a diplomatic suitcase. When you open up the Siddur to Daven Ma'ariv tonight, if you didn't Daven Ma'ariv tonight yet, or Davening Shachris tomorrow morning, and you are saying, I can't believe what's going on in my life. I can't believe what's going on here. I am so messed up. I am so scared. My life, the world is caving in. My business just recovered from being closed for who knows how long, and I was smashed in, and I was plundered, and I didn't have money to pay my insurance. What is God doing to me? You say, you know, we were locked in our houses now because of a virus and now because of a curfew. And both in New York City is the first time since World War II. Even in the riots, we never leave. So who's doing this? Who's doing this? Do you think there's some between this virus, this little bacteria has some kind of a connection with the police in Minnesota? Let's get together. So you see, Hashem is doing it. For whatever reason, Hashem wants us in our houses tonight.
Of course, there's a connection.
Yes, Mayor. Mayor, what took you so long? Yes, Mayor, go ahead. What's the connection?
We have the Torah, but what yes. are they supposed to do? They don't have their sports, they don't have their shows, they don't have anything. What are they supposed to do? It's a nice that didn't happen earlier.
Not everyone realizes the connection so quickly the way you do, Mayor. Not everyone has the Das Torah, the understanding. Not everyone does it. But let me tell you this great story, okay, Mayor? There was Rav Gadol Eisner. Rav Gadol Eisner, we spoke about him a lot, the famous Mashgiach and Ger. So it once happened that he, this Bacher came over to him and said, you know, I looked at the wrong thing, and now I'm in trouble. No, God's going to get me. Really, I looked at the wrong thing. I'm telling you, God is going to fry me. I just know it. And so he said, you don't realize what the Yetzer is doing to you. It says, because what the Yetzirah loves to do this to us. After we look at the wrong thing, so the Yetzirah wants us to worry about what we looked at, so he gets us to watch the rerun in our mind again and again and again and again. So Rav Gadol Eisner said, let me tell you this, Moshe, okay? He says, once there was a person, he's sitting in front of the fireplace, and he sees like this spark onto the floor. Spark falls on the floor. Spark falls on the floor. He goes, oh, zay. Could be a fire, could be dangerous. I don't know where that spark went. So he takes a magnifying glass and he holds it against the heat. He goes, this is a big fire. It's not a joke. So he runs and he says, I have to check this out. He brings these bellows, this pump, and he pumps on. The fire is even bigger. He goes, oh no. Then he goes and he brings this big piece of wool, and like this cotton, and he connects it to it, and poof, the whole house burns up. He says, I knew it was a dangerous fire. You turned it into a dangerous fire. You made a mistake in your life. You blew it in your relationship. You blew it in your... And you understand, Shalala, pick up the pieces from here, move on. Says the Svas Emes. Pasuk says, Vayishalchu min hamachna. B'shas matan Torah, we were free and clear. The matan Torah, we had a pure rotzen to want to serve Hashem. But the dust blew back into our face. you have an ability of a yeshalchu min anachna to send it away, particularly when it comes before Shabbos. You know, Hasidim, they make kiddush on schnapps Shabbos morning. You make kiddush on schnapps Shabbos morning, Moshi? You practice all week? No. Okay, chashom, just joking. So they base it on the Taz. The Taz says, not about kiddush, Taz says you make a bar nefoshes on schnapps because that's the shear. So the Tosha Rebbe once said from his grandfather, Yitzchak Isaac of the Shai, he said like this. You know where the Makar came? The Chassidim Dafka want to make Kiddush on Shnaps, Shabbos morning? Because he says, Zachos Yem Shabbos Lakach, this is coffee. Kishay Shes Yom Otto Hashem Ezeh Shanayim, that's the Oretz, that's the Yom, it's Galash Abam, but Yorach, but Yom Hashvi. Kishay Shes Yom Otto Hashem Ezeh Shanayim, that's the Oretz, that's the Yom, it's Galash Abam. The Rabbani Shalom did not put together this world brick by brick by brick by brick. The Rabbani Shalom said at one time, this is the world. The events of your life are not being written as it's happening. Before you were born, you are going to live through corona, you're going to live through riots, and whatever else is going on in your life, or whatever's happening in your personal life, and how that connects with what's going on in the world. The little gears and big gears, little wheels and big wheels. And therefore, we want to be able to make the bracha shahakol niyah bedvara. It all happened with his words. In other words, God doesn't create worlds. Oh, here. By chance, let me add something else. I know I've said this mashal many times, and I heard it. It's a great mashal. You ever buy anything by IKEA? Anyone ever buy anything by IKEA and you try to assemble it? Mayor, do you ever try to assemble something? I'm a terrible assembler. And I bring home this...
Father thing. Had workers who died to live when we need it.
Yeah, it works? So, listen, Mayor, I brought home this like vanity for a sink, and I put it together, and then I said, but I don't know what these extra screws are for. What's this extra piece of wood for, right? And I turned on the water, and crash. I heard that muscle. Oh, that's what the extra thing was for. God doesn't make extra things. He doesn't decide to add on another floor later on. You are part of Hashem's plan. I am part of Hashem's plan. Shehakol niyah bedvarah. It was all part of his plan to start with. Somebody once came to the Beis HaLevi, and she said she's an aguna. And she said, Rebbe, is my husband alive? And the Beis HaLevi said, like, how can I help you? Don't tell me. I'm not leaving until you tell me. So the Beis HaLevi said, your husband is alive. Is he Erlich? Is he still a Shai Meteren Mitzvahs? Yes. Is he coming home soon? Yes. He walked down. So they said to him, and you're the Beis HaLevi or the Kedushas Levi? Like, that's a Rebbe's story. Sure enough, she comes running a few days later. He came home. Everything is okay. Rabbi, you knew. He said to the Beis HaLevi, Ruach HaKodesh? She says, no. She asked me if he's alive. I said, Al pi halach, if someone has a cheskes chayim, the chazak is he's alive, unless considered dead. That's the halach. Now, once someone is alive, he has a cheskes kashrus. That's why I was able to say he's alive. So, how do you know he's coming home? She said, well, if he's alive and he's erlich, why shouldn't he come home? But you have to really believe in the cheskes. You have to believe if you're alive, you have a cheskes kashrus. Hashem is taking you home. Doesn't happen by chance. Doesn't happen by chance. So the Baditshevi used to say that the Hasidim drink a l'chaim, very into l'chaim tonight, because they said that liquor stores were always essential workers, right? They're always allowed to be open. So schools aren't so essential, but liquor stores are essential. I obviously schools are different.
The parents to be able to write.
Right. The reason the liquor stores are open is because the schools are closed. That's why you need the liquor for the parents. But anyway, so the Baditshevi, they once asked the Baditshevi why that you daven for a chayil, you say kapitel, tell me you drink a l'chaim? What's that all about? He says, look, the Saita drinks, and her partner, wherever he is, he dies. So you see, you can drink one place, and it has an effect on someone someplace else. So if that's true for a chayil, it has to be true for a brother. You drink a l'chaim that somebody else has, right? So the world is insane, as I said. But God says, I know it's insane. I put you here. And you are an essential worker. You know how I know you're an essential worker? Because you're here. Shemda wouldn't send us down if we weren't essential workers. He wouldn't dispatch us to this world. The Shmonesra you're going to daven tonight never was and never will be. And whatever emotional frustrations are going on and people have their own personal problems besides for riots and besides for viruses, it's good when Hashem says, this recipe, it's a certain recipe that has to work. We need your Shmonesra. We need your Torah. We need your Chesed. So they say there was this science teacher, she came into class and she said, here is a cup of acid. Here is my gold ring. I am going to drop it in. Do you think it's going to melt in the acid or not? And they're all giving their scientific suggestions. How many chemistry people do we have here? And one student says, no, it's not going to melt. And she said, how do you know? Are you a chemistry? She says, no, I'm a psychology student. So how do you know it's not going to melt? Because if it would melt, you wouldn't hold it over that cup that way. You wouldn't put it in. The Baruch Hashem put it here, so it has to work. So let me conclude with this story. Somebody once came to the Chabina Rav, and this was a boy that slipped a little bit, when, shall we say, off the derech, under the derech, right of the derech, left of the derech, but on the derech he wasn't. On the derech going the other way, whatever. And he joined the army, and he was so happy about joining the army until there was a war, until the Six-Day War. Then he wasn't so happy that he was in the army. He was quite scared. He came to his uncle for a bracha, and his uncle said, I need you to be mekabel at least one mitzvah on yourself, and I'll give you a bracha, you'll come back alive. And he says, okay, well, take it easy on me, uncle. Everyone says, tell him Shabbos! Tell him Tvilin! Tell him he should... What mitzvah should I be mekabel upon myself? So the Chavina Rav, maybe the greatest Gaon in his time, said to him, here's the mitzvah you should be mekabel upon yourself, okay? Yeah. Yours is the Chavina Einikel, right? Right. Is it the choy if they don't say Tachnin on Friday? Right. I want you to make sure you don't say Tachnin on Friday. If you won't say Tachnin on Friday, you're going to come back alive. This guy's laughing all the way to the bank. I thought he was going to make me do Shabbos. I thought he was going to make me do Tefillin. I thought he was going to make me change my lifestyle. Not saying Tachnin on Friday. Gewaldig. Then he was in the tanks in the Sinai, and he saw a lot of things happening around him, and he was as scared can be. The Zelt says no atheist in a foxhole, the way I come from, they say no chassidim, no misnagdim in a foxhole, whatever the case is. And he realizes, okay, my uncle promised me. Then he had a shuddering thought. All I have to do is not say Tachnun on Friday, but if I don't daven on Friday, I'm not really not saying Tachnun, because you have to daven and skip Tachnun, but if I'm not davening, I'm not really not saying Tachnun. So he decided he has to daven Friday morning. And he's davening Friday morning, so he says, you know, but I'm not saying Tachnun the other days either, because I'm not davening. I have to not say Tachnun on Friday. So he had to daven the other days in order to say Tachnun, to make sure that he's not saying Tachnun on Friday. He can't take any chances with this. Then he said, what about Shabbos? Really, you don't say Tachnun on Shabbos because it's Shabbos, but if you don't have Shabbos, so if I'm not Shomer Shabbos, the bottom line is he came back wearing tefillin and being a Shomer Shabbos. Because he had to not say Tachnun on Friday. So the Baruch Hashem knows what we have to do. And trust me, if we take all of the emotional pain that we're in, the insecurity that we're in, the questions that we have, the wondering about what's going to be tomorrow, where are we going from here? Where are we going from here? And we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the car in Ocean Park, because it can't be both cars talk to each other. It's not the milk. The reason I'm in my house is not because of the virus. It's not because of the riots. It can't be all together. It can't be that it's all happening right here. It can't be that the camera just falls right at the end of the shift. Because I'm in your hands. And the Baruch Hashem will guide you. Will guide you to your not saying Tachnun, which is going to be your bracha. So may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help. We should all be zeichah to be back in yeshiva. I missed the Beis Medrash at Landers, but it'll be much better when we're all in Yerushalayim, Ira Kodesh, with the Beis Medrash all together, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, and their taka will be home, and we'll be told taka to stay home, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. Take care, everybody.